Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. This is episode 178. We've been journeying our way through the Sermon on the Mount. Now we find ourselves sort of heading into the ministry of Jesus after the Sermon on the Mount. So if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, where we'll be looking at the first 17 verses, a series of healings. So if you've got your Bible there, we're turning to Matthew 8, verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go. Let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your richness. We thank you for your word which declares to us Jesus Christ. We pray that as we turn and consider this passage, that you would give us fresh eyes for his majesty, for your glory, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would bless it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, over the last few weeks, or maybe 1 week, I can't even remember at this point, last few weeks, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount was all about what it means to live as kingdom subjects. And we looked at a whole bunch of different things. We saw lives that were meant to be lived in accordance with God's rules, with the kingdom rules. We saw lives that were meant to be lived like children of God. And now Jesus, leaving the Sermon on the Mountain, coming down from the hill, is surrounded by a great crowd. And he works these three wonderful healing miracles. All of them are quite different, and yet all of them run along a very similar theme. You see, what Matthew's done when he's recorded these is he's grouped them together topically. If we look at the history of the story, what we find is that some of these stories happen at different moments in the different Gospels. And it's a good reminder for us that when the gospel writers wrote the gospel, they weren't interested necessarily in recording just pure factual history. but rather they were taking factual history and presenting it in a certain way, still factual, still true, but presenting it in a certain way so that they could declare a certain message. And so here, Matthew brings these three miracles together in order to highlight something about Jesus. They're always highlighting something about Jesus. So what is Matthew highlighting here? Well, firstly, he highlights something about every single one of these people that Jesus does for them. Jesus does something for all three of them. He includes them. You see, all three of these people are excluded from the kingdom of God in one way or another. The first person we run into is this leper. And if you remember Old Testament law, those with leprosy and various types of skin conditions were excluded from the benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. They weren't allowed to dwell amongst the people. They had to dwell outside the camp. They weren't allowed to touch other people, because to touch someone else was to make them unclean as well. They could never draw near to the temple. They could never offer a sacrifice. They could never experience the blessing of worship as God had given it in the Old Testament. They were excluded from all of the benefits of being a part of God's covenantal people. And then we have this second man, the centurion, and he comes on behalf of his son. Now, this centurion was not a Jew. And so on the nature of him being a Gentile, he and his family were excluded from the covenant of God. They did not have the joy as Gentiles of drawing right near to the throne of grace. They were always held at a distance. They had access to one part of the temple, but really they were fully excluded. The religious leaders had made it exceptionally hard by filling the court of the Gentiles so that they could not draw near. As a centurion, not only was he a Gentile, but he was also of the opposing force. And so he was despised and mistreated and looked down upon. And so we have this leper who's excluded because he's ceremonially unclean. Then we have the centurion who is excluded because of his nationality, because he's not an Israelite. And then we have this woman, the mother of Peter, the mother-in-law of Peter. And she's excluded because of her gender. She didn't have the joy of drawing near like the men did. She couldn't come into the courtyard of the men for worship. She was always held at a distance. Certain regulations and laws always would keep her just backwards a bit. So we have this picture of people who have been excluded from the blessings and the benefits of the covenant that God had made with his people. And now Jesus is here. And Jesus comes and he meets each one of these. And he highlights that the kingdom of God that is being ushered in through his ministry, that is being fully realized, is greater and broader and wider than what they thought. The Old Testament believers, they could never really understand. They were acting with shadows and foretypes, and they could never really understand what the kingdom was made for. But Jesus would usher it in. And so he meets this leper. And notice how the leper, who is the untouchable one, the untouchable leper, is met. And what does Jesus do? In verse 3, he stretches out his hand and he touches him, saying, "I will be clean." So Jesus' act of touching makes him clean. And the incredible thing about that is the touching of the leper should have made Jesus unclean. And it's this great picture, isn't it, that nothing can make Jesus unclean. though he would become sin, yet sin could never cling to him. He could never be made unclean, though he became like sin, so that we would have the righteousness of God. Yet he would not be caused to become sinful. He was without sin. And so in this act of kindness and mercy and grace, he cleanses this man and brings him back into fellowship with his God, back into fellowship with his Father, and back into fellowship with the people of God. Then we have the centurion, don't we? And the centurion comes and Jesus just says the word to him. And through this word, he says to him, go, let it be done as you have believed in verse 13. And through this word, the centurion's son is restored. And it's a picture, isn't it, of Jesus gathering in the Gentiles. He's extending his grace and his blessings and his love even to outsiders, even to those outside of the national kingdom. And so he's showing that the new kingdom, the renewed kingdom, the proper kingdom, what it was meant to be, was, as he said to Abraham, to be a blessing to the nations. And so now that was happening. The fulfillment of those covenantal promises and blessings were finally taking place. And this centurion and his son and his family were welcomed in to all of the blessings of God. And then notice Peter, the family of Peter. Jesus walks in and there's the mother-in-law of Peter lying sick with a fever. I'm imagining it wasn't just a random small fever, but she was obviously very unwell. And he touches her hand and the fever leaves her and she rose and begins to serve him in verse 15. And it's this stunning picture because, you see, rabbis did not touch women. Women were always kept at arm's length. They were kept quietly away because there was something unnerving and unclean and dangerous about women. And so they were always held far away. And yet here Jesus comes and he initiates contact with this woman. And he brings the mother-in-law of Peter in. And notice what she does. She serves him. Isn't it beautiful? She serves him and is welcomed to be a part of the kingdom of God. And she begins to do the very thing that we do. Jesus' ministry was about restoring outsiders to the kingdom of God. That's why he came. And so Matthew is highlighting for us that the way to enter the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. But notice what it's through. It's by faith, isn't it? The leper, he comes and he says in verse 2, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you want to, if you decide to, you can make me clean. He had faith that Jesus would be able to restore him. His fear was not that Jesus couldn't heal him. His fear was that Jesus might pass over him. And then the centurion, does he not express marvelous faith? In fact, Jesus says it's the greatest faith he's seen. It's greater than all the faith of the people in Israel. And he highlights this inclusion reality by saying that many will come to the table, but it's by faith. It's not by works. It's not by the Sermon on the Mount. It's not by law. But it's by coming and placing one's trust in Christ. And so we see as Peter's mother-in-law lies sick, there's nothing in her that earns this restoration. There's nothing in her that deserves anything. She doesn't achieve healing. No, she simply receives from the hand of Christ. And Matthew summarizes it in verse 16 and 17. He says, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Why did he do these things? to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. And so Matthew adds this comment on the end, and he says, this is why Jesus came, to take upon himself that which separates us from the kingdom of God. That was the ministry of Christ. Jesus came not just to live a life, not just to be an example, but he came to take from you what separates you from God. You see, in the end, there's no way of this world being united to God. There's no hope for this world in any religion, in any form, in any legalism, in any obedience, in any atheism. It doesn't matter what ism. There is no hope for this world to find, to know, and to be joint to God outside of faith in Christ. Have you come by faith in Christ? I wonder what causes you to feel separated from God. Is it sin? Is it your birth? Is it your family? Jesus removes all obstacles through your faith in himself. He has promised to do it. Will you trust him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the goodness of Jesus Christ and the way that he separates the sheep and the goats, the way that he restores goats to be sheep again. We pray, Lord, that you would so work in our hearts that we would know this to be true of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in for another day and another week of Daily Devotions. I'll see you back here next week, Tuesday, as we begin to continue our march through the Gospel of Matthew. Have a most blessed night. Have a great Lord's Day. And I will see you next week.